Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. Coda riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist Coda customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at coda.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
We're slightly late, but Terry flew back from Madrid with Ryanair, a company whose organisation and efficiency reminds me a lot of Barcelona's defensive line. How can you not foresee the problems? Why do you keep on making the same mistakes? We'll get to Barca's high line shortly, but first I need to check whether anyone will flag a safeguarding concern if I question Pau Cubarsí's role in these calamitous events. It's not so easy now that Uncle Inigo has gone off to count his petrodollars, is it? So essentially, we're back where we were 10 days ago, with Real Madrid top, Mbappe bagging them in, Atleti misfiring, but what a 4 days they had back there. There were plenty of fluctuations elsewhere. Girona are off the bottom, Valencia have gone bad, Sevilla are sixth, and we had six red cards this weekend. Now, it's traditional to blame the referees, but I'd like you to consider this. Why are the players in La Liga such arseholes? It's a bit of British slang for someone in the grey zone between stupid and irritating. I can offer you Clement Longley, sent off in the first half of Atleti's match at Celta for pointless shirt pulling while on a yellow card. Antonio Sanchez of bottom club Mallorca, who was sent off for sarcastically applauding after being booked. Why? You know they're going to send you off, so don't do it. There were so many red cards, Terry, this weekend. And when we came on, you said, oh, there was some bad referee. Yes, true, yeah. But there's plenty to unpick some of the decisions. But honestly, I think the difference between La Liga and the other league, while La Liga is so hot, is the players are idiots. you know he's going to send you off for that.
As an element of players as well, he's cheating. And I've called for in the past retrospective action on a Monday morning with some players, because they know... We know when players are cheating, to look at them and punish them, whether it's a yellow card, whether it's an automatic one-game ban, when they're feigning injury, they're feigning head injuries. But now that retrospective action could be instant. It doesn't have to be on Monday morning. It can be in the case of, no, he's conning you. You've got the wrong player. He hasn't touched him. He's touched him in the chest. He's gone down holding his face. He's looking for blood. He's conning you. So yellow card. Instant during the game, so it doesn't have to even be on the Monday. So that's my case this week. I did it belatedly, late shout, Oviedo, Levante at the weekend, and it was the game was constantly disrupted by players going down, feigning face and head injuries. In some cases, players were doing it, the same player, two or three times, all in an attempt to get a player booked, and you see the replay and you think, well, he hasn't touched your head. So that should be then an issue direct from VAR. No need to referee to get involved in checking the screen. It's clear. If you get a push in the chest and go down holding your face, do it. Book him. You know, just give him the yellow card. And that would put a stop to that. So I agree that the refereeing was shady this weekend. I agree with you. The players do have to accept a lot of responsibility for their behaviour and but it's not going to change. It's been like it for a long time, not just in La Liga, in leagues all around Europe now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, in no way would I claim sort of English Premier League exceptionalism, because there's loads of cheating goes on in that as well. But I think there is a stupidity element about some of these ones we see. But you know, it's like why would you sarcastic? You know they're going to send you off for it.
And to be fair, he could have got in that little sequence four yellow cards. He had three fouls. He was chasing someone, was hacking away at them, trying to stop the counter attack. And the player who was in possession of the ball refused to go down, could easily have gone down on the first, the second, the third foul. I think he's eventually grabbed him. There was four attempts at least to bring him down. And when he gets booked, why is he clapping the referee? You deserved the yellow card.
Yeah.
And then he gets the second yellow. We've seen it before in La Liga. Then if you're being sarcastically clapping the referee in front of his face, then you're going to get another yellow card on top of the one you've already got.
Yeah.
So that was Antonio Sanchez. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Right, we need to discuss Barcelona and their defensive situation, Terry.
Defensive? What defence? What defensive situation? It's all turn around and sprint back from the halfway line. If whoever's about, try and do us a favour and run back as quick as you can.
Five aside, isn't it?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So let me read out a couple of questions for you. So Philip, on Twitter, I don't know if Terry's ever been more on point about Barca. Another back four, total humiliation. So we discussed it last week after the PSG game, of course. Actually hesitant, call it defending, he says. Just four guys running around. Talk FCB says, I've got a question. Which do you think is the best centre-back duo since Flick can't seem to decide? And lots of similar comments from people. The shambolic defending of Barcelona's back line resulted in a 4-1 defeat. I mean, losing to PSG, and everyone's, PSG are good, and they looked a bit tired and a bit ragged and all of that. Got hammered.
It could have been 6 or 7. Barcelona had opportunities.
Yeah. Certainly
as well.
Made some good saves. I mean,
it could have been 7-3 to Sevilla, this game could have been.
Yeah.
It's not hard to analyse because it's so bloody obvious that if you run from deep and if you keep on side, you're going to get chances.
Yeah.
If you run the risk of getting caught offside once or twice, so be it. That's going to happen. They're going to get away with it, Barcelona. But if you're any decent striker, is that type of striker that's quick and wants to run in behind Isaac Romero, Alexis Sanchez running from deep, you're going to get chances. Yeah. I would love to have played against Barcelona's defence.
Yeah.
Because that was my game. That was running in behind. I was quick and trying to beat an offside trap. I loved playing against the team.
And twice this week, Hakimi and then Carmona. So it's not strikers. You can run from fullback.
That's the key. I suspected that midfield players would be doing it this season, but we've seen it from the fullback position. And that's not that unusual. Because you think now that the players you've talked about, Hakimi in particular, and other players like him that play in the fullback positions. They break forward. They're athletes. They're quick. They know that they've got the endurance to run up and down the pitch and defend when they have to. But when a team are defending, you haven't got to run that far, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're halfway in your own half and Barcelona are defending an offside line a yard in the defensive half, you've got like 25, 30 metres to cover to beat an offside trap. And no one's tracking you. There's no pressure on the ball.
Mm.
It's a problem for Hansi Flick. He says it's down to mistakes, individual mistakes. He's chopping and changing the centre-back pairing. I'm surprised Christensen hasn't had more opportunities. I think he's the closest they've got to Inigo Martinez.
Right.
In terms of not the quickest, but I think he's an intelligent player. And I think he could handle being alongside Kubasi. I'm not saying that's the best pairing, but it's one that we haven't seen too much of.
Yeah,
and I'm puzzled why.
Yeah,
Araujo played, comes off at half time. Eric Garcia is playing every game. Pau Cubarsí seems to be the one that plays the majority of games, so it's interesting. And Gerard Martin, I think he's a good squad player, but he's not Balde. But then Balde's been guilty of it when he comes on. You know, it's the two man centre back partnership that relies on playing the offside trap.
So in answer to that question from Talk FCB, you don't know, which sort of
plays
in. Hansi Flick obviously doesn't know, which is a problem, isn't it? So because when you say stop messing around with the back line, because your system relies on good organisation and getting it right in the split second, but it's not obvious how to fix it because they sold Inigo Martinez. Well, I think Darren sent us one through.
Yes. Good point about the lack
Yeah,
of preparation after selling Hugo Martinez.
so completely unprepared, as he says, for Inigo Martinez leaving. Played three of the four pre-season games. There wasn't the time, the resources, the consideration needed to replace him. He was the glue that held the defence together and important in guiding Kubasi beside him. Now Flick is continually changing his centre-backs game to game. Clearly doesn't trust Araujo, evidenced by him being hooked off at half-time. And then he parallels that with Dembele leaving two summers ago, having played pre-season.
Yeah, and not having the preparation then to find the replacement that they needed. Yeah, I mean, it is a difficult. Who knew Inigo Martinez was going to be so important at Barcelona? But I mean, he's always been a good player, and but he was a fringe player for a lot of the time, and then got his opportunity the first few games under Hansi Flick. We obviously saw, we all recognised later on that he had a leader in the heart of his defence, and alongside a 17-year-old then in Kubasi. So it is something they're going to have to come to grips with. They really have. I mean, the pressure on the ball isn't sufficient enough to start stepping up. These are basic fundamentals. You can't just run up towards the halfway line in the hope that the player in possession of the ball who's got loads of time isn't going to find the pass, and then people scurry about. Players that might be offside try to get back into an onside position. They ignore the ball. Players running from deep will run past them. They run past your defence. And they're in on goal. You never see Barcelona defending in like a low block
No.
with all the four there, with a couple of the pivot midfield players in Pedri and De Jong in front, and teams finding it hard to break them down. Barcelona are in possession, and within seconds they're all rushing back towards goal. I'm surprised about Araujo, I have to be honest. I mean, was he brought off again at half time. He seems to be
Surprised.
the only one that gets anywhere near rectifying that dangerous situation. So, because of his pace, he's the only one that's getting anywhere near tackling and blocking and chasing back. But is he the cause of the problem? I don't know. I don't want to pin it on one person.
So when you say you're surprised in what way?
He was good
Right, okay. Oh, is it? Right,
in
yeah.
a different type of defensive setup. And popular with Barcelona supporters as well. And suddenly his form was falling off a cliff, similar to Dani Olmo as well. Dani Olmo has been
Yeah,
poor.
because that's we'll, I've got a question about Dani Olmo in a bit. So it's interesting because you wouldn't if you were selling if you were buying a player from Barcelona, for most teams you'd buy Araujo before you bought Inigo Martinez, obviously,
Yeah.
because he's got more obvious qualities as a defender. But obviously, just there's something about how he doesn't deal with what Flick wants him to do.
Exactly that. I mean, he's very tall, very strong, very athletic, very quick. So the raw attributes are there. So and we saw it last season in the Champions League when he was crashing about, knocking people over and giving away penalties, getting sent off. That was when the alarm bells started to ring that this setup doesn't suit him. So I think in general terms, yeah, I think they'd still get not as much as they would have done. But if Hansi Flick is going to persist with this, and I have no reason to suspect he'll change, then it becomes an issue for Araujo.
So should he change? Is he make is this the unravel? Because we're giving him so much praise, and they play some beautiful football. Well, a lot of beautiful football.
Yes.
But is this the Achilles heel of Hansi Flick? He
Hansi
cost them
Flick.
the Champions League last season. You could argue that Inter game. Who knows what the final would have been like? It could have
Yeah.
been utter chaos against
Yeah.
PSG. But is this? Does he need to adapt, or is this him? Is this what he does? And we're sticking with it, and we'll outscore teams most weeks.
I think that's the what you just said then, the latter part. I think that's him. That's what he's going to do. Getting into his mind would be interesting because it's had success. I don't want to slaughter it and be critical of it. It just needs tidying up because last season they were fantastic.
Well, most weeks we're sitting here
Yeah.
talking, eulogizing about their attacking play, aren't we? So,
But for Inter to score seven
yeah.
in two games, Inter are not a team that scores seven against other top teams in Europe. That's when it sort of. And I thought Real Madrid got better at it last season against Barcelona, so I'm interested in the
Oh, we've
Clásico
got a
coming up.
Clásico soon. It could be
Yeah.
any. The scoring that could be anything from about 6-0 one way to nine
Yeah.
three the other way.
So I think, but Real Madrid showed improvement last season. They were unlucky not to win the Copa del Rey. as the results went on during the season, it got tighter. When you look at Barcelona play, you say if anyone's going to suss out it, I don't know how this has gone in his previous jobs, whether he's sort of had a successful period followed by a failure. I don't know. I haven't looked into it that much. But it's his style of play, and it's not going to change. And it's but it's he's there must be an element of teams sussing it out now.
Yeah, well, yeah, it would seem, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's another point that Darren made, actually. They've had a year's worth of game footage now. They can analyse it, and they seem to have. You know,
Yeah.
it's not brain surgery, is it? Like you say, can I ask you the Danny Olmo question that Darren said? I was pleased that we landed him as a Barca fan, because he's got the intelligence and the class between the lines and in congested areas, and he's shown glimpses of that quality. But he looks a shadow of himself now, player devoid of form or confidence. He's an expensive investment. So how do they rehabilitate him?
That's a good question, actually, because of the investment that they made, 60 million, wasn't it?
Yeah,
And at the time, it was a player we all said, he's good, but I don't know if they need him in that isn't, you know, is he the player they desperately need? At the time, it was, again, it was Nico Williams, wasn't it? It was linked for a similar amount of money, and they went for Danny Olmo. So it's, and then he was, there's no doubt he's a really.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Good player. There is doubt now in the fact that he's lacking confidence and not playing well. And the fact Fermín López is injured means that Dani Olmo pretty much has to play. Gavi has played in that position in the past. Pedri has played in that position in the past. But I think it's a straight choice is the number 10 between Olmo and Fermín López. When Fermín López is fit, I think he gets picked. In normal circumstances, I think Dani Olmo would be your first pick. But at the moment, Danny Olmo is. So, how do they rehabilitate him? It's difficult, big clubs, because they don't have time to rehabilitate players by continuing to play them. I guess you hope that in some of the easier games, he starts to regain some confidence. And then you hope that confidence comes to the fore when they're playing Real Madrid and they're playing Villarreal and they're playing Atletico Madrid. You hope he would get confidence by playing in some of the lesser teams in the league, but you've got to keep playing him. And with the big clubs like Barcelona, the question is, can you keep playing him? Because the expectation levels are demanding.
But injuries sort of push it in that direction
Yeah, I
anyway.
mean, in fairness to Flick, there's no Rafinha, no Lamine Yamal yesterday. The bench looked a bit thin as well. So you're looking at there's no Gavi, of course, and Balde's coming back from injury. So there are some issues that have hampered him. And also the first two goals yesterday. We're talking about refereeing decisions. The penalty was found, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's a long throw, isn't it? Really, long
Yeah,
throw.
that's diabolical, by the way. It's a
Sorry.
long throw that he brings down unopposed with no one, just one player behind him. How that has happened, I have no idea. How you can throw a ball into a player's feet
Near goal.
towards the near
Quite
post, near
close to
goal.
goal, isn't it?
Exactly. So that's diabolical defending. That shouldn't happen. Then it was, I think they were appealing for a corner, the Sevilla players. That's what their appeal was for. It wasn't like screaming at the referee for a penalty to look at VAR.
He sort
It's like
of
a tangle, isn't it? It's first of all, you're looking for a push,
it
and
is
then you see the legs tangle.
it's Araújo on is at Romero, isn't he? Is he too aggressive for the to be in the
Oh, yeah.
penalty
It's a
area?
muscle. It's a macho tussle. I'm going to be stronger than you. But that's why I thought it was the shoulder might have been the one leaning in and knocking him over. But actually, it was the leg. And I think he's unfortunate. I don't see a trip. I don't see a kick. I just see two players. And one player could have, it's in one player's interest not to get tangled up,
Yeah.
and that's Araujo. It's in Isaac Romero's interest to try and get tangled up.
Yeah,
And
yeah, yeah.
I just thought that should have been left
There is an
at the end.
uneven balance. We'll get to the Athletic game later, where it, like you say, one the strikers now want to be touched. They want
Oh, of course they do.
to be
Yeah.
fouled now. Yeah,
And when
yeah.
you see the freeze frame, you instantly
Yeah.
change your mind. You shouldn't, but you know it's going to be a penalty. When you see the freeze frame, you go, oh, they've stopped it and they've broken it down really slowly.
Yeah, we found
Oh,
it.
there,
Hey.
that's it. We
Yeah.
found it.
Yeah.
I thought that was in this case. And then the second foul, it's a foul on Koundé, which I, when you see the replay, you think, oh, that's a foul. And it was overlooked. So the first two goals went against the officials, didn't do Barcelona any favours.
Yeah, so Koundé got dispossessed, didn't he, coming
Yeah.
forward, and they got broken on. Funnily enough, got broken
Funny
on.
enough, everyone on the halfway line turning, the, sprinting back. And
Yeah.
I thought when I saw the replay, I was convinced that was going to be called back because of the foul, but
Yeah.
it wasn't. And we've seen that given in the past. So I
Yeah.
think that the first two goals were Barcelona were unfortunate. Then it just becomes so messy and untidy. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting Barcelona could have deserved something from this game. They were hammered. I
But there
mean,
are bit,
it
we've
was.
seen games like that where they've been poor and then they've turned it on. So without, yeah, again, yeah, let's not pin it on the ref because you could, couldn't you, if you really worked hard at it.
I mean, is
So
it remember before they could have got four or five goals in the first half, it's a bit.
yeah. The
And everything was every attack was the same.
problem is fundamental, isn't it? Players running through and the defensive line. And like I say, everyone's reluctant to criticise Kubasi because he was remarkable how well he played so young. But it's not all Araujo, this. It's
I
certainly
mean, the
not.
fullbacks are missing half the time because
Yeah.
of the offensive way that Barcelona playing the fullbacks
Yeah.
push high. Frankie de Jong is a world-class footballer, but he's not your classic holding midfield player that doesn't go anywhere, that sits in front of the back two. And then he said back four, it's a back two. So sometimes he's out of position. He's not in a position to help defensively. So it's a fundamental problem, that's for sure. Just interesting about that game yesterday, I was at the offices and I was watching it with Graham Hunter, Tim Lee does the commentary, Pete Jensen commentary. And Diego Capel, the former Sevilla player.
Oh, I remember him.
And it
Has he still
was.
got the long hair?
No.
No, right, okay,
No,
right.
yeah. And he was. He lives in Sevilla, Sevilla fanatic. You could tell the passion he was watching the game. And he went berserk when Sevilla conceded the goal just before half time. Great goal from Marcus Rashford, lovely ball from Pedri. And then one of those volleys where you think, oh, it's gone in. It was one of those moments. And he went berserker, the player. I wasn't sure the midfield player was for Sevilla that should have just cleared the ball. He got dispossessed by Pedri, won the ball back and crossed it and scored. And it was just refreshing to hear a Spanish player telling, going berserker at a player for not clearing it down the line.
Yep.
And he was saying, the flick of a switch. I could understand him in Spanish. This game's changed now. The flick of the switch. It's all because of this player, blah, blah, blah. Why didn't he just clear it down the line and get to half time with the 2-goal lead? He was wrong. And Sevilla, well, we're talking about this game. We barely mentioned Sevilla. I mean, Matias Almeida is doing an astonishing job. I mean,
Yeah.
it's a small squad. The players were discarded in the past. They've now been brought back into it. And I mean, one of those, Januzaj does give away a penalty. So this we haven't even mentioned a 2-1 Lewandowski missed a penalty as well. So at that point, you thought Barcelona were definitely going to score. Bargi had a really good chance, and the game just turned on the third goal for Sevilla, and then it just all come tumbling down, didn't it? And it looked awful at the end. Camona gets one, and then that Acor Adams gets another one. Adams had one disallowed as well. Then it was just offside. So it's ended up 4-1. It could have been 8-7 or 8-3,
Yeah,
4.
the scores in Barcelona against could be almost anything, couldn't they? Because it's so, I mean, it's so exciting. But and part of it being exciting is that they are vulnerable. Because that's like a good drama. You need to know that the main hero could get killed at some point. Because
Well, do you
then
know
it's
what? Last
exciting.
year they had a ridiculous amount of offsides, and near enough every game they played, teams had chances, and the flag for them went up. or goals
Oh,
disallowed,
particularly
and
the
you're thinking,
Clásico. Was it the first Clásico?
eight, yeah, Mbappe got offside 8 times. And now you're watching all of these attacks, and you're thinking, the flag hasn't gone up. It must be offside, and they're not anymore. They're onside. So that's the big difference. Last year, it was, Chesney was making save after save. None of them counted because as soon as he made the save, the flag went up, and you see the replay, you go, oh, yeah, it's a yard offside. It worked. So it was kind of deceiving last year that you thought sometimes Barcelona were allowing teams opportunities at goal, but the offside line was so almost to perfection that those chances were non-existent. But now you're looking and thinking, is he offside? Let's have a look, the flag hasn't gone up. VAR shows the replay. Oh, he weren't offside. That's a missed chance. Oh, he weren't offside. That goal's going to stand. So there's that fine line, and they're going to pay for it. They'll play better teams than Sevilla, better players than Sevilla got.
Anyway,
But
you
it
know what we've
was.
just done? We've started talking about Sevilla, and we've ended up talking about Barcelona's defensive organisation again. No matter
But
what
they were
they're at.
fabulous. I mean, Isaac Romero works his socks off. He doesn't convert enough of his chances, but just about gets away with it. But he's a bloody nuisance to every defence he plays against. And yeah, they were fabulous. They really were. And Alexis Sanchez scoring against his old team. That player that I ridiculed Sevilla for signing.
Well, to be fair, you just didn't. You thought I was joking when, because it was in the
I
intro.
know.
The intro is all nonsense. But it was only then, halfway through the podcast, you said, "Oh, did they actually sign him?" And I was like,
Yeah.
"Yeah, they actually
I
signed
was
him."
waiting for you to say they've got Yaya Touré as well. They've signed a couple of them together. As Azpilicueta was signed around the same time as well, wasn't he? And he's proving to be exactly what I thought he was going to be, that nasty, cynical old man playing at centre back. Can't run anymore, but he's going to put his foot in.
To be fair, I was
And
commentating at the weekend and Steven and Zonzi came on. So it worked.
Azpilicueta is in that self-preservation mode as a centre back who's in his 30s that can't run. So he just goes through the back of people all the time now. But he's been a good signing. Alexis has been good. They haven't got a budget. They've had to work with what they've got. And whoever's put this squad together and been able to keep players as well that I thought they'd lose. And suddenly there's 15, 16 players there that Almeida is coach of the year probably this season, I'd say.
It's on 6th of October, but let's
Well, Gary Neville did say the title race had been blown open in the weekend when Liverpool lost. That's like 90 points to play for. So I might have gone a little bit too heavy. But after this, I expected Sevilla to struggle. It was a basket case of a club. But someone and somewhere has worked hard to get the right manager, to keep the right players, refrain from selling too many. And they're fabulous to watch. And you know what? You watch Sevilla on telly, and it's that part of the country where it's always sunny. The supporters are on board. They're good to watch now, Sevilla. Which I'm absolutely delighted with, to be honest. I don't want to see our better teams in La Liga struggle. They are struggling off the pitch, but on the pitch, brilliant.
We maybe in the international break for I'll ask you about Monchi, but not now. Because Lamine Yamal, by the way, has got a convenient injury for 2 or 3 weeks. Doesn't actually agree with that. You should have a break.
But it depends on what the injury is. I mean, it's an issue with the international team. I wouldn't think Barcelona would want him to miss that game yesterday if there was nothing wrong with him. I don't think they would do that out of spite just to say, because they needed him yesterday. When you haven't got Rafinha, you haven't got Yamal, you're having to, pickle together a front three. I know it was Rashford, Lewandowski, and Ferran Torres. Nothing from the bench, literally nothing from the bench could come on and help them. So I think there must be a genuine injury there.
Real Madrid then at top of the league. It was a good win against Villarreal by 3-1. We just the other day, Terry, we were discussing Vinicius, whether he should be first choice because he wants to play in that very wide position. And from that very wide position, he had a huge influence in this game. He got 2 goals. He got a penalty. He got one that he cut very wide, didn't he? Just ran into the penalty area. Got a deflected shot. Mbappe got his now traditional goal. I mean, it was good. They created a load, didn't they, in this game?
But I still thought it was a tight game that the Villarreal could have got something out of, to be honest. I was slightly dismayed as well with the lineup from Villarreal. It was second against third. Villarreal going great guns, and gone under the radar in third position, and players were left out. I couldn't understand why. Mikatadze was one of them. I touted him in the preview weekend that he was a danger man that Real Madrid would have to watch out for because he's really, really, really impressive so far. And he was on the bench. He comes on and scores, but it was I was this I was why have you there's an international break coming up. Flog your players to death before the international break. If you're Marcelino, what are you resting them for? So it played into the hands of Real Madrid. At 2-1, it could have been a different game. Player gets sent off then harshly, I think. You're right about Vinicius. I mean, the first one, I think the goalkeeper saves it or defender clears it, but the deflection takes it in at the near post. The penalty was. I didn't think that one was a penalty, and I thought the one on Rodrigo was a penalty. So it kind of balances out. And as you said, the sending off was. It wasn't smart, to be honest. I think refereeing. Second yellow, so VAR can't get involved. Santa Marino, it's a tussle down the line, isn't it? His arm goes across the chest of Vinicius. Vinicius goes down, holding his face as if he's looking for blood on his mouth. There's no contact with his face. So he goes into that category of the other games that I saw where players were calling the referee, and it worked on this one. So after Mikatadze scores, it's 2-1. But in a few minutes, they're down to 10. And then Mbappe gets the third. So it was they create loads of chances. But it wasn't a comprehensive victory. This could have gone a different way. But for Real Madrid, lost one, won the rest, 21 points. It's yeah, I mean it's the one hiccup, but the big one against Atleti, but back on track. And it was a decent performance. And Vinicius with the two goals does take the headlines. And perhaps that will help his confidence. I mean, we're talking Dani Olmo. It's been similar with Vinicius as well, I think. So, yeah, this might help him go forward. And as I was not criticising his credentials as a player. I was just saying he hasn't been playing as well as he has done in the past. And Rodrigo probably, might deserve an opportunity, but Xabi Alonso, similar to.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Dani Olmo, this is his way of rehabilitating Vinicius.
When they come back from the international break, they've got Hetafe away, which is traditionally it's a
For
hard place.
everybody.
It's for everybody, isn't it? And then they've got Juventus in the Champions League, then the Clasico, then Valencia at home, probably that tough at the moment, and then Liverpool away. So it's there's a heck of a run of games coming up for them, isn't there?
I mean, the Champions League one is interesting. Even the Barcelona PSG game last week, you're watching it and thinking it lacked that cutting edge of a knockout stage game. It did have an element, and some of the other games did as well, of, well, we're all going to, we'll get through somehow. We might have to go in a playoff, but we're finishing this top 24 or whatever. And or so I think that's the Champions League games, we put a lot of importance on them. If you get off to a good start, it's great because you can knock out four or five wins and then sort of rotate after Christmas and such like. But that is a tough fixture list for Real Madrid.
Atletico Madrid, very short time ago, Terry, were flying. Five goals against
Short
Real
time.
Madrid.
13
Five.
in total in three games.
In three games, And then they get the worst of funnily enough, a one all draw. Good old Celta back with the one all draws, of which they've had a series.
Six out of eight draws. Six out of eight games are draws. They haven't won a game yet.
Yeah.
The only team in La Liga that haven't won a game. We lost their two unbeaten records this week with Elche and Barcelona. And Celta now the only team in La Liga without a win.
Yeah, because Girona won, didn't they? So let's do this. So they took an early lead. Atletico forced an own goal, didn't they? But they only had one shot on target. So it didn't help that Longley got himself sent off, I think, stupidly. And then they Celta, you know, put a lot of pressure on, didn't they? And Aspas scored.
Yep. I mean, it's... The Stafford one was the own goal. Was it completely misses the foot he's trying to kick the ball with, and it's the other shin and ricochets in. Good work from Pablo Barrios. At that stage, they're in control. They're in the position they like to be in. Again, they don't keep a clean sheet, but this has to go down to Clement Longley. Surely, I'm surprised he plays as much as he does. I know he's on loan and they've signed him permanently. But I think the best defence for Atletico includes Hansko at centre-back as opposed to left-back. And if you play Hansko at centre-back, then you can play Galan or Ruggeri at left-back. I mean, but Lenglet always seems to get picked. And I think he does this too much. He's got a mistake in him. And this was too much... the first one was a silly foul, and then the second one is absolutely ridiculous. It's a brief, instinctive pull of a shirt, isn't it? But it's in a position. It's on the halfway line.
With players around.
It was like he was offended because I think he gives away possession. He loses the tussle, and his instinct is to pull the shirt quick, and then he realised and let go quick, but it was too late. From then on, you've left your teammates in trouble. And so to deserve the draw. Ultimately, at the end of it, you can say Atleti did well to get a point in the end because Celta were coming strong and they were looking to get a win. But it's in terms of the numbers of points, 8 points beyond Real Madrid. They got it down to six last week from the top. Now they're eight again. Not impossible, but they can't afford slip-ups like this.
Yeah, because they've had too many already, haven't they? Yeah. In the early part of the season games.
Drawing too many matches against teams they should be beating.
Yeah.
It's going to cost them.
Yes. As Paul, Letty fan, he said he knows it rains a lot in Galicia, but he wanted the fire to last just a little bit longer. But there we are. It was good while it lasted. Athletic Club, though, Terry, back on fire again with a couple of goals against Mallorca. Mallorca, who are now bottom of the league.
Mm.
So we've discussed the red card against Antonio Sanchez, but there's a penalty in this that's really important, isn't it? It's Valiente and Iñaki Williams going for it. And it's one of the ones where you don't see it initially. And on about fifth go round, you see Iñaki go down.
Yeah.
He obviously knows. I've got him.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
Yes. Bit of Borja Iglesias there, wasn't it, from... That I laughed at last season. Borja Iglesias was, and players do it. They just lay on the floor now.
Yeah.
So it draws attention to it. It's a VAR. It draws the referee's attention to it. There's something that has to be looked at. Now it happened a lot of other times in other games this weekend, and nothing happened. I didn't think anything was going to happen on this one. And as you say, on about the fourth or fifth attempt replay, you're looking and thinking there just might be a cause here for a penalty. And that was the case. I mean, they've struggled to score goals this year, so to get off the mark as early as they did, I thought there was going to be a real surge from Athletic Club in terms of getting more goals. But it didn't work out that way. Sam Acosta, I've already asked you, do you think he meant it? You said no.
No.
I think he gives it away because he's laughing so much after
it
goes in.
Yeah.
And then Alejandro Rego. It's a new young 22-year-old came off the bench and scored a fine goal for them to get all three points.
Yeah,
and Nico livened things up when he came on. He does make them different. I think there's important players at Athletic Club, but they're kind of replaceable. But you can't replace Sensen, you can't replace Nico Williams, and when they've both been missing, like that probably tells you why Athletic have struggled in recent weeks.
Yeah. They're a hard watch some weeks, aren't they? But not when they've got all the best ones available.
Yeah.
Girona, I've got a 2-1 win. They haven't been hard watch Girona. Their games have been wild at times, haven't they? But they finally won one. Venat scored an absolute cracker.
Yeah, good goal. He looks a good player, he does.
Yeah.
Velislav Venat looks
Yeah.
really good. Dovbyk is the, oh, he's the new replacement. He's not that Dovbyk. He's tall and rangy, but he's dynamic and he's quick and he's drops in and gets into feet. He can run. He's a bit good. He's got a bit of everything and looks at finisher as well. So that looks to be a good signing, that one.
Yeah, and a hugely important win.
Oh, massive. I
Yeah.
mean, it's been disastrous the start. And you look at
Yeah.
the bottom of the table still and you're thinking, well, 8 games played. It's hard to predict. I know that, but the relegation battle looks interesting this year.
Oh, it
It's
does.
easy to always nail down the three that come up. They're going to go down. Elche have started well. Levante have picked up points. Oviedo get the odd win. And you're looking down the bottom and it's like Girona, Real Sociedad, Mallorca, Celta. It's not what I thought it was going to be at the start of the season. And Girona, at times this year, looked good. But 75% of the games, they've been an absolute joke. An absolute shambles.
Yeah.
And
It's
then
so.
suddenly they can look good. So I think there's hope there for Girona. But in saying that, next week they could be a shambles again.
Yeah,
That's how
that's
the season
what it
is.
struck me. They've had two or three games where everything has gone wrong and it's been utterly awful without them necessarily. You don't look at them and think this lot can't play. It's just that
Got a good
stuff.
squad, good players. I mean,
Yeah,
it's not as good as the one that got fourth position.
stuff goes wrong for them.
And again, in this game, two players sent off, which doesn't help their cause. Even Martinez, a little bit harsh, and Alejandro Francis, who played, was taken off, then got sent off from the bench. So again, it's two players suspended, two good players as well for the next game.
So quick, oh, you did the
Hey, Valencia,
Oviedo.
that's a problem.
Oh yeah, Valencia. So they've lost twice in
Yeah,
the
I
week, haven't
mean,
lost to Oviedo on Tuesday, didn't they? So
yeah, Diego Lopez said we're going to work harder than ever to put this situation right. It's suddenly deteriorated into a crisis at Valencia in the space of two games. Playing Oviedo at home and Girona away, and they've lost both. They pummeled Oviedo midweek. How Oviedo won that game, I don't know. It's the beauty of football, though. They had a player sent off and they still won. They were losing, and Valencia had chance and shot after shot. And Oviedo barely had an attempt at goal and 1-2-1. So going into the Girona game against the team that's bottom of the league, Valencia needed something from this match. They didn't get it. And now suddenly the focus is looking on a Valencia team in 15, 8 points. All the credit Carlos Corberan built up last year is drifting away. There's a,
So
yeah, it's an issue with Valencia being that bad.
down the bottom end, you Oviedo Levante. Who's obviously Levante won the game. Are they the better team of the two?
They probably deserved to win it, yes. I mean, there wasn't a lot in it. The first goal was bizarre. Carlos Alvarez. I was on this game because I was due to do the Real Madrid Villarreal game. I'm landing. I have to get 6:15 a.m. flight because the later flight means it's. I don't want to risk being late for a game. So I get the flight in the morning this time here in the dark. I have to notify the people at La Liga when I've landed. Just to tell them that I'm in Spain, in Madrid, and everything's okay. And they said, can you do the first game? Gaizka Mendieta was stranded in Paris. So I had literally no time to prepare, a little bit of homework quick
And
after I could check in at a
with all due
hotel.
respect to Oviedo Levante, you must have been gutted.
Well, I was glad to help out. There was a moment where I thought I was going to be doing both games. But thankfully, I didn't in the end. I'd love to have done the Real Madrid Villarreal game, but it was a problem for Gaizka, and I'm happy to help out. But doing that game without loads of prep, as we normally do, was a bit of a struggle. But the first goal, just going back to Carlos Alvarez, the referee blocks Alberto Reina. The ball pops out on the edge of the box, and it's going to be a knockdown. Two players contesting it, and the referee gets in between them. And doesn't allow the Oviedo player, yes, to run round him. But that time, Levante got good possession. Ball goes wide, it's crossed. Referee must be thinking, please don't score. And they did. But I don't know. There's nothing you can do about that. It didn't touch the referee, but he clearly it goes down as an assist. He definitely
Yeah,
blocks
I think he
the Oviedo
can.
player.
It's just a question of, it's a big call, isn't it, to then get
I don't know what
involved
you can do.
again.
I don't
Yeah.
think you can blow the whistle, can you? I don't.
I think you could. If you're a ref and you actually get in someone's way, you could say, sorry, drop ball. But
Yeah.
it's another call to make, isn't it? Because you're sort of thinking, oh, it'll be all right. And
Yeah.
then, like you say,
And then,
praying that they don't score. Yeah.
and inevitable that they did score.
Yeah, and then once it's in, you can't then go
Can't do
back, can you?
anything.
And
No.
say, oh, actually,
Yeah.
I've changed my mind. Yeah. Yeah. Alaves 3, Elche 1. Elche sacked the manager, I imagine. Yeah.
I thought you were giving me some breaking news there. I thought, what? And I wasn't sure you meant Alaves or Elche, because there would be a surprise if it was either of
Did
them.
all right. They're both good.
Yeah, I mean, Elche, one of our two unbeaten teams going into this weekend, which is remarkable.
Yeah.
But I've really been impressed with Alaves this year. Caudete is doing a really good job. I like the way they play. I like watching them at home now, whereas in the past it's been a struggle. They've been sort of very much Hatafe light in the past couple of years, survival mode from day one. It can be a bit bleak watching a game live in that stadium, watching it on television. It's one of those parts of Spain. Oviedo was pouring down with rain, and the pitch was cut up pretty badly, actually. And Alaves can be like that if they're not playing nice football, but they are this season. And Tony Martinez, Lucas Boye get amongst the goals. Carlos Vicente is a good player, a lovely penalty. But he starts with the two strikers. And I enjoy watching Alaves this season. Last season, when he took over, it was, yeah, survival mode still. And it has been for a while when they've been up and down the divisions. But I see improvement this year from Alaves.
There's a few more games to do. So Espanyol 1, Betis 2, which was another game in which you commentated. I was worried about you getting your flight, Terry, when that the sort of shambolic end to the. I
I,
thought
you
never, I thought it was
alluded to
never
the
going to end.
Ryanair.
Yes,
You
yes.
and to be fair, it weren't Ryanair. I've flown from Ryanair for years. They've been fine. It was an air traffic control strike late last night, which I was involved in. Got caught up in. Espanyol. I mean, they get a little bit of criticism because they've gone. It's three games without a win now. You think three games? They've drawn two of them. They've only lost to Real Madrid going into this match last night. That was their only defeat. It could have gone either way. It's another dubious call as well for the first goal. Paul Lozano's wonderful. For that alone, I was glad it weren't disallowed. Chest and lob volley from the edge of the box. But there was a foul. I mean, Lo Celso's another one of those players that just keeps going down and keeps going down and keeps going down. And referees are human and they must think he's down again. I'm not giving that. I'm not giving that. You know, he keeps going down and I've given him a couple that were 50-50, but I thought that was a foul. It was an aerial collision on the edge of the box. It looked a shove in the back, I have to be honest. And I expected that to be disallowed, but it wasn't. And they take the lead. And Betis probably was second best in the first half. But in the second half, Couto gets a really good goal. Abde gets another good goal as well. And the drama was around the Valentin Gomez and Leandro Cabrera incident in the last seconds of the match. Interesting one as a co-commentator. The arms are all over the place from the Betis centre back, Valentin Gomez.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast. Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Is and you're thinking it looks like he's handball. He's got one hand up in the air. I was concentrating on that to see if he'd struck his arm. because you saw the Espanyol players claim a penalty, and then when you see the replay, that the hand in the air that might have been handball doesn't touch the ball, but the other one is an elbow that goes straight to the face of Cabrera. So I think it was a penalty. And then the drama comes. Betis players argue. I thought Valentin Gomez probably should have been sent off. I mean, he did the foul, which is a yellow card, and then he shoved the referee in the chest after round by the VAR screen. It took a while to take the penalty, and then Javi Prado is denied by a good save from Paulo Lopez, who then turns around and gives it plenty to the Espanyol
So,
fans
do you mind him
as an
doing that?
ex-Espanyol player. I think there's a line if you're an ex-player. And I don't think he left in. I think he chose to leave, didn't he, and go elsewhere. They didn't get rid of him. He wasn't left on the bench for ages, and that the ump. It was his choice to leave when he was recognised as a good young goalkeeper. I didn't see the reason why he should do that. Mark Rocca rubs salt into the wound, does an individual lap of honour, another former Espanyol player, and clapping the supporters, and they giving him a standing ovation. So, yeah, I don't know why he did it.
No diplomat, Paulo Lopez. Quick mention of Cucho Hernandez, 4-4, I believe
Exactly.
now. A lovely header for the goal.
It was, do you know what? He said in his interview afterwards, "I'm not the biggest, but I think I'm good in the air." And it was a skillful header. But he was really good last night. He has been really good. Doesn't get an abundance of service. He's the lone striker. They need more from the number 10. It was interesting they tried Rodrigo Riquelme there with 10, 15 minutes to go. Lo Celso, for me, doesn't do enough. And I think that Fornals is in great form. Betis are in really good form. But Cucho is crucial in terms of he occupies two centre backs. And he's not the big, he's not Soloth, he's not one of those strikers. And he's quite diminutive, but he's aggressive and he's quick. And yeah, I think he's been really good for Betis. I mean, the Vitor Roque move didn't work out, did it?
No.
Bakambu is becoming a veteran. So that was an important player position that they had to fulfill. And they couldn't have done better than Cucho.
Osasuna beat Getafe 2-1 with a dramatic ending, 90th minute goal from a corner.
Alejandro Catena. And the first goal, what about the first goal from us? I mean, they're 1-0 down. Bretones were a wonderful strike. And one of those where you think, don't be stupid, don't shoot, you're running away from goal. And he rifles it back across goal, top corner, a spectacular goal. One of the goals of the week. And that gets him back on level terms. Catena gets the winner from a corner. I mean, Osasuna got 10 points all at home. So when they play at home now, you think that it's a good environment. If you're going to be good, be it good in your home stadium so you avoid the criticism of the travelling fans, where there's not as many. And come back to the Espanyol game, the Betis supporters that were there, incredible. Dotted around the stadium and a big following. I really like what Betis are doing, so in
I
terms of the
also
away crowd.
think that Espanyol are looking good as well. I think
Yeah,
that's a
32,000 there last night.
And it was lively, wasn't it? And
Yeah.
I think it was a criticism I leveled at La Liga probably 2, 3 years ago, where it wasn't
Yeah.
looking good. There were too many empty seats,
Exactly.
no away fans, away fans badly treated, and all of this. But they've used that the venture capital money to, and they've used it pretty well, I would say. Now it
Yeah.
looks better as
It does.
a spectacle.
And Osasuna, watching them on set, I mean, I didn't dislike their old version of the stadium, but now it looks fantastic. And it just creates a better culture. Celta, their supporters, because their stadium has improved. We even spoke about Real Sociedad. The stadium looks better. The product on the pitch doesn't look better, but the stadium looks better. Mallorca looks better than it used to. Betis and Sevilla are both going to improve their stadiums as well, massively improve their stadiums. So I think, yeah, the money has been spent well, and new owners at Espanyol as well helps. New hope in the club. Good players, good recruitment policy, good manager. So, yeah, and Osasuna, likewise, 10 points at home makes them difficult opponents in that stadium because of the support in the back end.
So it leaves us with Real Sociedad nil, Rayo Vallecano 1, 84th minute goal from the
Real
break.
Sociedad would always be last, the match of the day, wouldn't they? It's bonkers. I mean, they had eight shots, three on target. I mean, they have more shots than Rayo, but that's you're entitled to. Pacho Espino with a goal 6 minutes from time. 5 points. They scored seven in eight games again. They scored less than a goal a game last year. It's not going to get any better. It doesn't look as if it's going to get any better. Slightly baffled, to be honest, because loads of good players, loads of choices in attacking positions. Somehow, it's not as if they're missing loads of chances either. They just don't create much. So again, you talk about Barcelona and their fundamentals defensively. The fundamentals at La Real have got to change as well. But excellent win for Rayo. They've started well in Europe. They've had a European run to qualify for the Conference League. But struggling a bit in the Liga. 5 points going into this game. So really good win for Iñigo Perez and his team away from home. Still underdogs when they're playing Real Sociedad away. So 8 points is a point a game, gets them back on track.
All right. So that will do for La Liga now. We've got another international break coming up, which is what everybody needs, of course.
I actually do. 16 flights in 8 weeks
you
of
can
football.
keep away from airports for a while as well,
Yeah,
Terry.
I'm looking forward to a couple of weeks without flying because people know I love flying.
Right. So thank you, everybody. We'll come and do something for the Patreons in the international break. We'll see everyone in a couple of weeks. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.